Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Concern level on TJ Watt right now is what? We all know he's still a really good player, but he's getting paid to be a defensive player of the year candidate, and that certainly would not be the case right now. Correct, Bob? If the season ended, a guy with four sacks, which is 27th in the league, his five tackles for loss is 27th in the league, and his four sacks are pretty far down there as well right now. Let me see here. At four sacks, he's tied for 19th in the league. That's nowhere near the production you get from him. And I know he gets tons of attention and has in most games this year, but he's coming off a game in which Amarius Mims basically just engulfed him. It was like this guy was a giant pillow. And no matter what TJ did, he couldn't get out of the pillow. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and Mims did a very good job. I didn't see that coming at all. But I also know that we're six games into this. I think before it's all said and done, he's going to do what you'd expect him to do. I also think that the problem in sports, and it's a problem for the player who signs, is you get all that money. But if I looked at everybody who's made that kind of money around the NFL, you'd say they all have been disappointing. Max Crosby, I watched that game yesterday a little bit. He has not had a good year. They had three first downs all day against Kansas City. It's crazy. And then you see what Myles Garrett does or doesn't do, and he gets big numbers based on PFF, but I don't see that translating to anything on the field. Those numbers are down.
So
TJ Watt needs to be more of a reason why they win.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
And this goes back to last year, Bob. Now in his last 10 games, he has four sacks.
Yeah, that when you move back to last year, that is not the kind of production you want from someone like him. He has to get better. But I also think, if you look at when he is double teamed, it does open up some things on the other side. I think that's why Herbig has been better. And get back to your other question about who should start. Right now, I'm riding a hot hand. I got to go with him.
Well, they aren't, even though they indicated that Herbig would get more action or would keep playing a lot is maybe the better way to phrase that. Here's Terrell Austin. Is this from last week, Limits? Let's hear him.
It is.
He's earning the right to be on the field as much as we can get him on the field. And so, as we get going in the season, long season, he's going to play a lot of snaps for us and play a lot of football. And it's my job to find ways to get him on there, to keep him on the field with what he's done. Because he does. He's a splash player. He's always around the ball. He makes it miserable for offensive tackles. And he's playing well. And so guys that play well get rewarded by playing more.
Yeah, but he didn't. He played less, Bob, in that
snaps,
game.
30 snaps, right?
29 or 30, yeah. Something like that. So they didn't stay true to their word there. And here's the real story, is that Alex Highsmith had one of the quietest games of his entire career. Zero pressures. He was awful in that game. I think Herbig should be starting right now over Highsmith. Am I crazy?
No, I would do the same thing. Again, I'm riding hot hands. He's playing better. The numbers back that up. And he should have had more play in that game, especially when it was clear that those two guys, and that's the weird thing about that game. I thought, if anything, whoever's going to be on the edge was going to get tackles for losses and sacks.
At least
and
pressures.
Nothing happened. Here's the one thing they can do to help that. Play some press coverage once in a while. Instead of this, you know, they were laying back a lot in that game. Make sure you disrupt these guys at the line of scrimmage when you do have the ability to do that, to make these routes. And they were hitting them with slants left and right. As soon as they snap the ball, middle of the field, and all it takes is one pass that's accurate, and then all of a sudden you got a 10 to 12-yard game.
Yeah. Here's a number for you. Ready for this one, gentlemen? Limits, you ready for this?
Please.
In 2022, Alex Highsmith had 14 and a half sacks, which he parlayed into a pretty good money deal, correct? How many sacks, that's 14 and a half sacks, how many sacks in 32 games since then does he have?
I'd say 10.
12?
Same number, 14 and a half sacks in 32 games since then. That ain't getting it done, Bob. Sorry. That's just not getting it done. Quarterback hits. He had 20 that year. He only had 13 last year. He has 5 this year. Tackles for loss. In his second and third years in the league, he had a combined 27. Since then, in those 32 games, he's got 17 or 18. He's disappointing. And I know he's been banged up at times. That is a disappointing contract right now. Would you agree with that?
Yes, but I think most of these guys, when they get the kind of money that has inflated the game defensively, you're going to say that most of them have been disappointing. As I mentioned, Max Crosby has been disappointing. Garrett, to me, has been disappointing. And I understand why, because it's big-time headlines. They get all this money. You expect production out of all that money.
Yes, I do.
I do, too. And that's why Nick Herbert should be playing. I think he is opening up eyes around the league that he is a game wrecker on that side when he's in there. He doesn't play all that many snaps, but if you look at the percentage of successful plays that he has on his limited snaps, you'll see that he makes an impact much more than Highsmith right now. And I like Highsmith. I do. But you got to go with what Terrell Lawson said there. A guy who's going to get more snaps, but he didn't. That's what was shocking to me in that game.
Me too. And, you know, you want to split time, you want to get more creative with your sub packages and things like that, fine. But right now, I think Herbig didn't do a lot the other night either, did he? Although he had twice as many pressures as the other guys.
No.
It wasn't like he was very visible the other night. Not to me, anyway. How about you?
I could not understand how that offensive line had that much success against the Steelers. That was the most disappointing thing of that game, that they neutralized the guys who were supposed to make a difference defensively, especially against that team. How they've been struggling, how they weren't able to run the ball at all, and all of a sudden, everything, the floodgates open on every possible thing.
They've had two profoundly disturbing performances in their first six games, two really disturbing. One was the Jets, where Justin Fields looked as great as he ever has and has since been benched because he's throwing for negative yardage. And this one against Flacco and Chase Brown, a team that couldn't run the ball at all, basically started to run at will against them. You're right about Max Crosby, Bob. When did he sign his big deal?
Same time as TJ.
He only has 11 and a half sacks since the beginning of last season.
That's what I'm saying. And they gave him time. Again, if you want to base it on what he makes, they're all disappointed.
Well, how can you not?
I know, but that's...
You want to go for that kind of money, then you better produce.
The number of big contracts increases. They know that. They play that game. They get the money. Again, then you're held to a big standard. And that standard has not been met by any of them.
So
I agree with you. But what I'm saying is I still think Watt can impact things. If he's doubled a lot or they try to take him out specifically, the other guy should be doing, whoever it is, should be doing better on that side. But I also would go back to what they experimented with and move him around more. You can't just come out with the same thing every single time. Because when
that's
you do
been
that,
the MO,
guys
right?
like the guys like Jamar Chase say afterwards, we expected everything they threw at us. Well, how would he know that?
I mean, a lot of the ex-players, a lot of the analysts – in a lot of cases, they're one and the same, who talk about the Steelers' defense, say it's very predictable, even from years ago until now. Am I right about that?
Yeah, I mean, who was it? Julian Edelman was the guy who came out immediately and said that every time they play. I think it was him.
Yes, he did.
But the point is, you know, you have all these big-name players. I tell you what's interesting to me. When you look around the league and see some of these other defenses that are doing well, they don't have big-name players. A lot of them do not. New England's defense doesn't have a whole bunch of big-name players, right? Even Kansas City, other than Chris Jones, not many people were recognizing all these guys. Now, internally in the game, players know, But generally, they work together as a team, and they just scheme.
No, that
Spagnuolo is a great schemer of everything.
Yeah, that Bengals game was a five-alarm fire. It's one thing to have Joe Flacco have a good game against you. He can get hot. He can play well.
But he's also prone to interceptions, and they made him none because they didn't put any pressure on him.
If Joe Flacco came out and played well, that's fine. He played well the week before against Green Bay. But to come down to the game-deciding drive and have a guy who's already been targeted 21 times running so wide open that there's nobody on the television screen, and then having Kirk Herbstreit say, look at the miscommunication. Look at Patrick Queen pointing all over the place. They're having a miscommunication there. That's inexcusable at this point. That's what brought them, that type of thing brought them down last year. It was an embarrassing performance. It wasn't that Flacco played well. It was that the Steelers' defense embarrassed itself.
Yeah, and they have maybe too many green dotted guys, you know. I don't know. They rotate safeties quite a bit, which is a little bit surprising to me. I thought they would, you know, stick to one combination throughout the entire game unless of injury. And that's definitely a problem. And you can tell it by, again, the screenshots of Ja'Marr Chase with no one around him, knowing they need a field goal, knowing he's been the guy that they looked to all night long, and he was unaccounted for. How in the world does that happen? It's
incredible. It really does speak to coaching to let one guy run rampant on you. I compare it to a basketball game where, all right, this guy, it's one thing to say we're going to let him get his and stop everybody else, but they weren't doing that either. They couldn't stop Chase Brown. T. Higgins was having a good game. The tight end made a couple big catches. Yeah. So in this instance, you have to say to yourself, all right, if we're going to lose this game, it's not going to be because of Ja'Marr Chase. We're not letting a guy go off for 60 points and beat us single-handedly. We're going to triple team him. And if the other guys do beat us and it looks like they're all playing well tonight, then so be it. But he's not. And not only did he beat them, Bob, there's literally screenshots of that. It was like the first or second play on that last drive where there's nobody, no Steeler in the screen.
Where kickers today are kicking 60-yard field goals routinely. He's at midfield and there's no one around him.
The game was actually a fireable offense for a defensive coordinator if the Steelers actually had one. They don't because the head coach is the defensive coordinator. It's actually that type of repeated disaster that happened that night with the miscommunications, with the all of a sudden somebody's going off on us in a historic way. Think the Baltimore playoff game. Think about the Eagles running 11 minutes off the clock to end the game last year. Think about Justin Fields, you know, looking like Joe Montana. It's happening again. We can't even cover a guy. We're not even in the TV screen. Somebody's getting fired off that game, but not here because everybody knows that the guy who's the defensive coordinator isn't really the defensive coordinator, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a combination of all of those guys in there, starting with Mike Tomlin and Terrell Austin. And they knew what this team was capable of doing.
Well, it's Mike Tomlin. It's his defense by design.
By design it is, but I still don't know definitively who's calling plays on every down.
It's Austin. You can tell he's calling plays on every down, but if you have a defense in which communication lapses are happening, you have to ask, well, what kind of system are they running where they can't get on the same page?
And they're not adjusting.
And why does it keep happening year after year now? It's embarrassing.
Here's the stat that I was looking at yesterday, and this pretty much sums up what we've seen so far. And the Steeler defense this season has already allowed 19 completions of 20-plus yards. 19. So they're on pace for 53, which would be more than last year when they gave up a ton of long plays. Those big chunk plays, you've got to stop those from happening. And if you don't do it, you're going to have problems. And you're allowing – I also thought the run game for Cincinnati – changed the way the Steelers decided to defend this whole thing. When they started gouging people that early, I mean, come on now. You can't let that team run that 142 yards. That was more than what they had in the first five games.
They were the worst rushing team in the league by over 20 yards a game. They were down in the 50s. Sports Talk on the Fan presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Bob, you have to go after this segment. Am I right about that?
Yes, you are.
That makes me sad. So I'm gonna.
It makes me sad too, but I got other stuff I have to do.
I know.
You know how the TV crossover works.
I know. And I wanted to get to this before we before you left. Limits, let's get to the Will Howard topic. this is interesting. And I realize it really doesn't have a whole lot to do or anything to do with Sunday's game, but Will Howard remains a fascination with Steeler fans. I was listening to Josh Roundtree yesterday. He's very good on the air.
Would you agree with that? Yeah, he does a very good job.
And people calling in about Will Howard in the middle of all this. So the morning guys got into a comical, I thought it was fun, funny interaction where Crowley and Doran went after Cabali because Cabali was saying that, you know, why isn't Will Howard doing anything? Like, you got to have him doing something. Bob, let's take a listen to this and then you and I will discuss, okay?
All right, let's go.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
We might be getting ahead of ourselves because there is a guy from Ohio State still sitting there waiting to get active.
I'm sorry. I can't. I'm not doing that.
But you're talking about putting somebody in a bad situation. The guy's been ready for a month now.
He's a sixth-round pick.
Right. Get him out there and let him throw the ball around a little bit.
Who cares?
That's the last thing I'm thinking about right now.
Yeah, Will Howard reps.
I know.
I'm trying to win ball games right now.
I'm not talking about reps. I'm like, put him in his uniform and say, we did this for the past 20 years of have three quarterbacks active. Why all of a sudden we only have two quarterbacks active? I want if Aaron Rodgers does not come back next year, to have Will Howard at least feeling good about himself of getting a opportunity to compete.
He's not. He's a sixth-round pick, and the chance of him being a Pittsburgh Steelers starting quarterback at any point in the future was destroyed when he didn't play in the preseason. You ain't waiting around to see. Who cares, Will Howard?
I would definitely put it this way. I would definitely activate him and get him out there. I'm not saying play him or anything like that. He can just put him as the third emergency quarterback. What's wrong with that?
Bob, that went on for a while. I'll tell you what. I agree with Cabali, and that might be historic. Do you?
To me, it's not even an issue to talk about. I don't understand why.
Wait, why isn't it an issue to talk? It's obviously not. He wasn't saying it has anything to do with them beating the Packers or getting to the playoffs. They've carried three active quarterbacks for 20 years. Activate him, make him your third quarterback, and give him a shot moving ahead next season. Like, why wouldn't you do that?
What's he gonna gain by being active, just sitting on the sidelines? I mean, he's going to see the same game no matter where he's watching it from. Is that going to make
him? He implied that he's doing nothing. Is he even the scout team quarterback in practice?
Well, I hope so. He should be doing something like that, but I agree with Crowley about the fact that this preseason came and went, and that was his opportunity. He was going to get lion's share of the snaps in preseason games, and he got hurt. And if you had seen something, I think they would have seen something, because I like Will Howard. I think he has potentially a chance to be a quarterback in this league. I don't know.
So why this year not have three active quarterbacks? Why this year?
I don't know the answer to that, and I don't think it's that big of a deal. I don't.
Well, it's certainly not, you know, the season isn't hanging in balance because of this, but I think it is a big deal if he's not doing anything. Can you not be on, can you be not active and not activated and still run the scout team offense and get in practice and get
you
reps?
Know, that's a question I don't have an answer to. I don't know that.
Would you agree that he should at least
yes,
be doing that?
I hope he's doing that.
Well, that's
what's
question.
The point? I mean,
can you text Cabali and say, is this dude, does he get any practice reps even as a scout team quarterback? Can you text him right now, Limits? Because I should know that, and so should Bob, but we don't.
Yeah, but normally you would expect that he can do that role in a practice.
Cabali's implying that he's doing nothing, and I don't agree with that. I don't think that's right.
I don't either. I think that's wrong. He can get some. To me, that's where you're going to find out about him during this time. That's all they have.
So
they
we
can't
both
play
would agree
games.
With Cabali in that sense if it's true that he's not doing anything.
Well, he should be doing something.
Yes.
But if he's not, then, I mean, it's totally a wasted season. It already is.
I think people greatly overreacted to Will Howard. Part of me agrees with what Crowley is saying there, but in terms of the nuts and bolts of the conversation, like what's the main topic, why would you have Will Howard doing absolutely nothing? That doesn't make sense.
It strikes me as weird that he would do nothing in practice. He's got to be doing something. What do the practice squad players do during practice? Do they get in there at all for any reps at all late in the practice or whatever? I don't know.
Let's ask Cabali all of these questions, Bob.
Yeah, I just know that I think, you know, he's being looked at as a sixth-round pick, and everyone who talks about Will Howard mentions that. I get it. Sixth round for whatever reason. But I also think that once he gets a chance, you may see something better. You know how Mason Rudolph was a first-round grade. They took him in the third round. It could work the other way, too. This is a sixth-round pick, and he's actually a third-round pick, and we should have. You know, who knows?
But you said you agree with Crowley, who said, and I quote, his chance of being a starter at any point here was destroyed when he didn't play in the preseason.
Well,
I don't agree with that.
I don't think he would have been a starter.
His chance to be a starter at any point here, Crowley said, was destroyed because he didn't play in the preseason.
Well, I don't think he would have been a starter no matter what. But I think if he had a good preseason, you would have known this guy is somebody to hang around and compete next year or whenever it's time to bring
right,
in another
quarterback. Right, and Crowley's saying, never. Forget about that. No, everybody knew he wasn't going to play this year. He said
I don't agree
his chance of ever being a starter here was destroyed because he didn't play in this last
preseason.
Ever's
a long word, and
I don't agree with that.
No, I don't either. If Aaron Rodgers gets injured and the things in the second half don't go well and he decides to retire, you don't think Will Howard should be considered?
All we talk about here, or half of what we talk about, is I'm watching college games trying to determine who the Steelers' future starter will be. The quarterback class for next year is falling apart. I'm watching Jackson Dart and Bo Nix yesterday thinking one of them could have been the guy. We're going to watch Baker Mayfield tonight.
Cam
he
Ward.
Could have been the guy. We're all obsessed about the Steelers' past decisions and their future at quarterback. Yeah, Will Howard's a topic. I don't think he's going to be the guy. I think he was picked in the sixth round for a reason, and I think a lot of people were way overexcited about that. Having said that, he absolutely should be active and doing something because that's the way – why would this be the year that you don't have three guys active? Has Cabali responded to this?
So I asked Cabali – so he gets zero reps at all, even on scout team, and he said he's still on IR, but he's healthy. So I said he isn't even allowed on the field then, right, even for scout team, and Cabali has not responded.
Okay, so if he's on
IR, that's different.
Yeah.
But I'm saying
he's saying he should be activated from IR because he's healthy and have him doing something.
Well,
that's the way I read it. Get him on the line. Tell him to call our show right now. Seriously, I will, Limits, if that's a problem. Here, Cabali, call us. How's that?
I just think Will Howard, there's a lot to be yet said and written about him. I think he has a lot of characteristics that you would want in an NFL player. Whether or not he can go in there and eventually be that guy, I don't know, because the only way we'll find out is if he doesn't. Just like we're watching Cam Ward, I mentioned his name. He is under duress over there. That's number one overall pick. Who knows how that's going to turn out. He's been exposed to an awful lot. I think if Will Howard shows that he can handle this, and let's say next preseason, they draft a quarterback, even if Aaron Rodgers is here, they're going to give that quarterback opportunity, but Will Howard should get some too. And I think you'll be able to at least have an idea. I don't know when the time a line is on his future. I don't.
Nobody does.
I wouldn't say he's never going to be a starter. I don't know that. I want to keep my mind open on
him. If I had to bet right now, he was a six-round pick for a reason. I think people were enamored with the fact that he won a national championship. He's from Ohio State. I don't know, but they became very enamored with
him. Dak Prescott was a fourth-round pick, and a lot of people said the same thing of him. He's a fourth-round pick. What are you doing taking him? And then he's been – you talk about a guy who can just – interesting, by the way, in this – these stats blow my mind. Onto a different topic about quarterback. Dak Prescott against Washington at home in his career, 7-0, 1,800 yards passing, 22 touchdowns, no interceptions in seven games against their chief rivals, or one of them anyway. But he was a fourth-round pick, my point.
Yeah.
There's a lot of guys who come out of nowhere that you would, you know, and they need an opportunity.
I mean,
Howard should have had that opportunity. It was very disappointing he didn't get it. Because he would have played.
I mean, it's one preseason. Who's to say somebody else doesn't get injured next year? We have no idea what the Steelers' landscape at quarterback is going to look like in August. But they can start preparing this guy that they drafted in some type of way for that by making him active. They still have a problem. They don't have a future quarterback. And that's not a small problem to have. So until further notice, I agree with Cabali. More than I do Crowley or Doran, and he's apparently in the building, Bob. He said he needs 2 minutes.
Oh, he's doing his podcast, I think. No, if he's in the bathroom, he needs more than 2 minutes.
Limits, did he say he's coming down here? I said, hurry up, because Bob has to go in 5 minutes. Do you have an extra minute, Bob, or do you have to be somewhere on deadline?
I hear what he has to say about this. Because
he's not responded.
He has responded to me.
Oh.
I said, call us now. He said, I'm here. I said, then come down the hallway right now with an exclamation point. He said, need 2 minutes.
I have a feeling I'm going to see Cabali with a strand of toilet paper on his foot coming out of the bathroom trying to get here.
Hey, guys, you bothered me. Come on.
You might be right. Crowley went overboard. I agree. Crowley seems to
be... He makes it sound like he doesn't believe for 1 minute he'll be a starter.
That's fine. I won't say Crowley's wrong there. Crowley was wrong.
I won't say he's right either.
Well, neither will I. But Crowley said his chance to be a starter at any point, and he meant at any point in his career, was destroyed when he didn't play in the preseason. I categorically disagree with Adam Crowley there.
I disagree with him there. But his point about being active, I don't know how that works. I don't know.
Well, we're about to find out.
There he is.
There he comes.
Let's give him a hand, all three of us, when he walks in. Three.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Mark Cabali.
Mark Cabali. We thought you might be in the toilet. We thought, put that mic on, and we have a question to ask you.
A couple of them. Where were you, first of all? Doing your podcast or taking a crap?
Podcast. Okay. Just finished.
What is Will Howard doing right now? Is he the scout team quarterback?
Nothing.
So he's on IR.
So he can't do anything on IR.
He's eligible to come off of IR, but they have not made a move yet. And just talking with him, according to him, he hasn't been told anything of if or when he would come off the IR. Once he comes off the IR, they start the 21-day
clock. Days,
you either lost for the season or put him on the active roster. Right now, he comes to practice and sits in his sweats and occasionally goes on the side of the...
But he's healthy.
Yeah.
Okay, so he should be, for the sake of their future at that position.
That's what I was saying today on the morning show, and they were looking at me like I was an alien.
I agree with you for the first time ever, 100%. Bob, do you agree with him now that he's here saying this?
Well, first of all, You can take your time when you know they don't have to start his clock at any point, and they don't want to get into a position where they have to definitely put him in there probably, and that's why they're taking their time. But to the other point they brought up, Adam doesn't seem to think he'll be a starter ever. I'm not willing to say that. I think he has a lot of what you would look for in a starting quarterback. Whether or not he can sustain NFL defenses and go against them, I don't know the answer to that yet.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to have the opportunity of at least put him in position of next year of having that opportunity of having a chance to go if Rodgers doesn't come back, say if him and Mason to battle. Right now it's just we haven't seen him since August.
He's wasting away.
That's what I'm saying. And every single year for 15, 20 years, they've always had three quarterbacks on the active roster. This year, when Skylar Thompson got hurt, they've only went with two. They can put him on there, maybe dump a defensive lineman, dump somebody, then make him the third.
He's right.
I think,
and he's 100%
they need
right,
just to get him out there.
He's 100%
My point
right.
is there has to be some roster motivation here.
Of course, they're not they want to keep their 19th defensive tackle or something, right?
Well, but also, I think they just want to make sure. You said if you activate him 21 days later.
Yeah, you still give him 3 weeks to be able to
right.
make that decision.
So they're extending this, from what I can see, as far as they can.
Extending it until they just say forget it. Or never extend
who's
it
to
at
say,
all.
So who's to say, by the way, the some like Crowley, the one point I really disagreed with him was when he said that Will Howard's chance to be a starter at any point in his career was destroyed by this injury in the preseason. I have no idea what it's going to look like next August. What if Mason Rudolph gets hurt?
Yeah.
What if it's Rodgers, Rudolph, and Howard, and Rudolph gets hurt? Then all of a sudden he's the backup.
I don't think any of us are here banging the table of him playing this year. No.
Nobody is.
That's not the point.
Right.
The point is to do the anti-Mason Rudolph and give him opportunity to be ready for next year.
Yes.
When Ben blew up his elbow and it's like, hey, Mason, get out there.
And not let the guy just
sit
there and waste
yourself, away. Well,
now that you
explained yourself, I agree with that sentiment. I wasn't sure what they were talking about. They had a little confusing.
What about practice squad players? Bob was curious about them. Do they participate?
Oh, they participate. Yeah.
See, that's what I'm saying.
But they put them on practice squad. Any team can come grab them.
Right.
So that's why they won't do that
with
Howard.
He was just curious about practice squad players in general.
The point is, he's not active. So if you're still on the injured list,
even though he's healthy. And he's
but
not
again,
active
there's
because
roster.
Yeah, but what are okay, answer that. What they're not activating him because they want the extra roster spot.
I would assume that.
For what?
That's the logical thing.
For what?
Depth on some position.
Yeah, depth somewhere. If it's
at the expense of developing a guy you drafted at the most important position in the sport in the sixth round.
Yeah, their argument would
when
probably be
when they've kept three quarterbacks active, as he's pointed out for 20 years in a row. He's right, they're wrong.
I like this Joe Starkey.
It's like Judge Joe.
Limits, do you agree with this guy?
I do agree with this, but at the same time, I do wonder, is this the Steelers in a way kind of telling us how they feel about Will Howard?
I don't think that's going to be
maybe
the case.
They don't think that he's as good as they initially thought when they drafted him, but they don't think
camp.
It's worth it.
We saw so little of him in camp that I don't think you can make that determination off of that. No, I just think they're just trying to buy roster spots, and it's going to get worse before it gets better because Corey Trice is close to coming off the.
And that's
good. That'll be a big boon for them. Corey Trice is going to walk in there. Well, he gets hurt more than Bo Bennett.
Well, some people are not happy with how Joey Porter's playing Crowley again.
So that's another decision. Since you're here, they have to figure out Joey Porter's contract future, don't they?
At
some point,
it's his third year.
Yeah,
he was a second round pick. He has to make a decision.
So
next
that's
year.
When he would either get extended or not.
It's an easy decision right now, and it comes down to one word: no.
Or the 1 year.
We agree with that.
$1 million.
Maybe
not a long term, but he has everything known that needs. He has everything you need to be a good cornerback: the size, the speed.
I haven't seen the speed, but
I think the size, the speed.
He just has to be
the
less
mentality,
handsy.
The. His old man, I mean, being part of that family growing up. He has
there's
everything.
Just that little problem of he can't cover people unless he holds
them.
That's
what I'm saying. I mean, he needs
some
help.
And that hasn't changed. Well, there were two in this past game. I mean, you can't get away with that stuff when they're watching for it.
I still like Joey. If he's a late
developer, Joey too, but
that could be a guy that can come back and bite him in the rear if they end up letting him go.
There's another thing at work with Limits with his opinion on Will Howard.
Oh, here we go
Penn
again.
State. He hates Will Howard and he loves Drew Rowland.
I said that I would be fine with them activating him, Starkey. Sounding like snarky over here.
No, but you did have that feeling at one
you
point.
You did. That you're
this goes way beyond
on
this
Penn
conversation.
State, Drew Rowland.
That is insulting to me that I can't differentiate between the two.
You've insulted him. Come on.
Now, if you swap Drew Aller for Will Howard, he'd be like, he needs to be active.
That's the best point. Yet.
I said Will Howard should be active.
He did say that.
With a qualifier. You were very skeptical.
Counselor, please approach the bench.
You are skeptical.
When I get a text message saying, get down here now, I'm like, oh, jeez.
How long would it
do?
Have, if you happened to be in the toilet, just to say.
I wasn't in the toilet.
But I'm just hypothetical.
In the toilet? You
know, no, in the bathroom, going whatever you're going.
No, dookie.
Yeah. Okay. So if you're doing that, how long would it take you to respond to him? And, you know, without rushing, because
I'm not one of those, I don't have an extended stay there. I'm usually in and out. I don't do very good on the road, so
I like extended stays.
Now, why did you return my text messages but not limits?
I thought I did. Did he?
Not the last one.
Because he supersedes you. It's Joe Limits. So I responded to the Limits. Wow. Then when Joe came, I went to Joe.
Saying the quiet part out loud there.
All right, big boy. Bob has to go.
Yeah, me too.
We got to go down. Thank you for the clarification.
All right.
Practice, non-practice.
They have a practice today.
Yeah.
They got an open locker room.
It's not practice.
So what does Will Howard do during these practices? Just
he
sits
watches
around?
In his...
Is he? Have you talked to him about cheer? This?
I talked to him a little bit the other day.
He's a really good conversationalist.
How did he act? What did he say?
I like
basically,
him.
He's been told nothing. Now, is he telling me he's been told nothing, or has he been told nothing?
What does he do, just eat or something during practice?
He goes out there and he watches, and I'm sure he goes to team meetings and all that stuff, but he's not out there participating, you know, getting strapped up, putting the helmet on, going out there, working out, doing individuals, nothing like that.
Kabbali's never been more right in his life, Bob. Would you agree with that?
I agree. Now that he explained the whole situation, I wasn't quite clear about what they were battling.
I'm myself now if me and Joe's agreeing.
He might be wrong now. Thank you, Mark. Enjoy practice.
Thanks, Mark.
If anything
Try
big
the extended happens, stay approach. It's a good one.
If anything big happens, text Limits if you would. Bob, it's time for our sad goodbyes. I'm going to miss you.
All right,
you.
I'll be back here on Wednesday.
All right.
We'll have a lot to talk about, and we have the Penguins. They're playing well, aren't they?
Yeah,
they got a game against Vancouver coming up, so we can talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, the Fighting Jim Rutherfords. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Limits.
Thank you,
have
Limits.
Have a good rest of your show.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Limits.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Who would have thought we'd have a Will Howard topic today, Limits? That was very exciting
for
all
me.
Involved.
Not me, but he's a very polarizing figure, Joe.
That came from Crowley and Kabbali. He is a polarizing figure. In the meantime, there are many issues to talk about with the Steelers. I believe we are in the middle of a six-pack there about the fact of how big this game is nationally for people to watch on Sunday night, for the Steelers as far as are they for real, and for the Steelers as just a swing game, like keeping a little bit of separation or really coming back to the pack with a loss. You know what I mean? They go to 4-3 and all of a sudden the Bengals beat the Jets. I can't believe it, but the Bengals will be right there. Then the Ravens all of a sudden would be 2-5, just a couple games back. Yeah, two games back, right? With two games against the Steelers still this season. Lamar's back. That Bengals loss was just god-awful and damaging, wasn't it?
Yeah, gut-wrenching for them, and especially thinking about the Colts on the other side of the game, of the Packers game as well. Whether you believe them to be contenders or pretenders, they still have the best record in the AFC. And their offense has been significantly efficient with Daniel Jones at quarterback. This is not going to be an easy stretch. This is where we're going to find out who this team truly is.
Let's go to the phone lines, Limits. Who do we have?
Let's go to Lee. He's downtown.
Hey, Lee.
Hi, Lee.
What's going on?
I think all the games last week or the games that just went past showed you that you got to have a number two receiver. And I think, you know, it's like a baseball term, the book. You know, we're getting into the weeks where I think all this tricks and these tight end things are going to get exposed. You got to go get a number two receiver. And if you're all in with Aaron Rodgers, what's giving up a second-round pick for Chris Olave? You're not going to get another second-round pick next year. Whoever you get in the second round is not going to be NFL-ready like Chris Olave is. So you might as well go ahead and give up that second round, or I'm giving up a third round and Alex Highsmith. Who's going to say no?
Alex Highsmith for Olave? No, I will.
That's what I'm doing.
No, I'm not doing that. Alex Highsmith, even though we ripped him earlier in the show, I think is still a very viable NFL player. If I'm going to go out and get a
your aging quarterback some support, I mean,
Aging quarterback's doing fine. The offense doesn't worry me. I'm not sitting around thinking, oh my God, Aaron Rodgers needs more support. They just scored 30 points against the Bengals.
They're a terrible defense. You're going to be playing way better defenses than the Cincinnati Bengals defense.
Well, you're also going to get Calvin Austin back. You also had Freiermuth play on the outside. I'm not arguing that they couldn't use another receiver. I'm just saying the problems lie on defense, and I'm not ready to make that kind of trade for a guy. Let's talk about the defense. How would you fix that?
Who are you going to trade for? On the defense side, unless you're going to trade for Jeffrey Simmons?
I don't know. I don't think there is anybody. You need a better scheme and the players to play better. I think some of the moves you made were wrong.
I'm going to ask you one question. Are they going for it or not? If you're going for it, then you need to go make a move. If you're telling me they're going for it. And if you get Aaron Rodgers, that's telling me you're going for it. So you got Aaron Rodgers. He's playing at a high level. You need to go give him a viable option. I mean, if you're going
do you not like do you not
move.
Like Calvin Austin? I thought he was off to a pretty good start.
I like Calvin Austin as number three. I don't like him as a number two, because you're one injury away with DK going down, and now you're dependent.
I do agree with that. I do agree for insurance purposes that would be a good move. In fact, overall, it would be a good move. I just don't think that what?
What's a second round pick for Chris Olave? Whoever you get, in
you said Alex Highsmith
is not. I said either a second round pick. It's either going to take me a second-round pick, or I will give you a third-round pick and either Alex Highsmith or Freiermuth. I got to have a dynamic number two receiver. That's what you have to have in today's game.
I don't know. My problem was with the defense. That's what I'll say first, is that my problem was with the defense. I just think this overall obsession with a number two receiver, when by the way, we've been talking about Freiermuth disappearing from the offense. Is this number two receiver going to get in and get a ton of targets? You can't even get TK Metcalf the ball last game. What do you have, four targets? So, I don't know, man. The offense, to me, right now, is not the issue. I do agree. If you can go out and get a two receiver, that would be nice. That would be nice, especially as insurance for Metcalf on the days that you do decide to use him. That would be great. Defense is the issue with this team. In the meantime, I think that Rodgers probably has an adequate amount of weaponry to work with between Metcalf, a healthy Austin, Fryer is 18 tight ends, running backs out of the backfield. That's not the problem to me right now. Limits. People can call now to win a $100 cash card, a $100 cash card, and passes for a night out to see Springsteen. Deliver Me From Nowhere, 20th Century Studios presents Springsteen. Deliver Me From Nowhere, starring Jeremy Allen White as the boss. I got a sneak preview of this. Unbelievable movie, and it happens to chronicle my favorite Springsteen album, which is what? Wrong. Nebraska. The film chronicles the making of that 1982 album, which I love because it's mostly acoustic. It's unbelievable. He was young at the time, on the cusp of global superstardom, and sort of struggling to reconcile the pressures of success, which were coming at that point, and the ghosts of his past. And the movie does a great job of sort of laying all that out, and with Jeremy Allen White just doing an unbelievable job. So don't miss the highly anticipated film Springsteen, Deliver Me From Nowhere, only in theaters Friday. And we're going to go with caller number three for that $100 cash card and passes for a night out to see the movie. And you can also, caller number three, can take a stab at what lyric this is. This is pretty easy if you're a Springsteen fan. And it's not from Nebraska, but it's a famous lyric. The screen door slams. Mary's dress sways, limits, like a vision she dances across the porch as the radio plays. So caller number three, you tell Limits what song that is, and then you also get the cash card and the night out. Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Who else is on the line, Limits? Please.
All right, let's go to our guy Greg in Youngstown to chime in.
Hello, Greg. What's up?
Hey, not much. I'm not much of a Springsteen fan, telling you the truth. Not much.
Well, good. Then you're not calling for the tickets.
His best album is that second one he did, The Wild, The Innocent, and The East Street Shuffle. That's
yes.
His best album.
Yeah. He didn't do too many bad ones early on.
No. I think the stuff later on was lame, but that's my... Most of those guys, once they get older, their albums become lame. Hey, so if I'm going to get anything, I'm getting a defensive lineman. We got to bulk up that defensive line. That defensive line stinks. You know, we're not going to win anything if we can't stop the run and get some pressure up the middle. I don't care about a receiver. We got enough targets. Don't waste their time. You know what I mean?
Well, here's the thing. How are they not better along the defensive line? You know what I mean? Well, all we heard about was Y.A. Black, like he was going to become more famous than Y.A. Tittle in his career. Plus, they had Harmon, Hayward, Benton. I mean, this was supposed to be, and in some games has been. Just the week before, they were destructive against the Vikings. Keanu Benton had the game of his career. So, but I do, having said that, I agree. If you can bring in a veteran defensive lineman to help you, that might be the one position. Now, a lot of people would say corner, and I agree, but what's out there for corner?
No, no. And here's the thing. The biggest loss we ever had on our team was when we lost to it, and the nose tackle that went to the Eagles. Those are our two biggest losses.
Hargrave,
replaced those guys. Yeah, Hargrave never replaced those guys.
Yeah.
We never replaced them. We went down our defense went down the drain after we lost both those guys.
Okay. I there's a lot I agreed with there and some things I didn't, but we have the Springsteen guy on the line. Is he going to tell us what song those lyrics are from?
Yes, so Mike is our winner of the tickets. Let's see if he can name the lyric,
Mike. The lyric being, the screen door slams, Mary's dress sways. Like a vision, she dances across the porch as the radio plays. What song is it?
Rosalita.
No, it's Thunder Road. Oh, my God. Is this the guy who won?
Mike, you still win, but you got it wrong. Dang.
That ruins my day. What can I say?
Well, your day should be made that you got tickets to the movie and $100 cash card. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah. Congrats, buddy.
I appreciate you guys. Thanks a lot, man.
See ya. Poor guy. Or should I say the fortunate guy? A little bit of both, I guess.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.